The Psychedologist.
Hello, wintry, weathery listeners. This is the Psychedologist coming to you hot from freezing Connecticut. It's been snowy and then rainy and then icy, and then I guess it's going to be melty next. And I've got this wonderful conversation to warm and brighten your day for sure. That is a guarantee. I had Lady Bugs on this show, aka Mama Sophia, aka most magnificent, inspiring, wise, playful, gifted, and blessed woman herbalist, urban farmer. Actually, I'm not sure if she is an herbalist, but definitely wears a lot of hats, and in both in her community and in the small scale and on the large scale. We had a great conversation about spirituality and work and where those two can meet, and how we can be transparent about that. Showing up as your full self, creating and sharing our own content and rituals with each other, especially amongst women, our healing rituals, growing a business, urban farming, self-care, and self-love. I'll read you her bio. Sophia L. Bugs, also known as Lady Bugs or Mama Sophia, is the proprietor and operator of Lady Bugs Farm, a 1.3-acre urban farm located on the south side of Youngstown, Ohio. She is reclaiming the sacred roots of farming through sustainable spiritual living. A few of her areas of expertise include specialty crop farming, wildcrafting, and fermenting traditional foods. Her mission is to revitalize her community by offering well-being from seed to table, all while creating a loving urban homestead with her daughter, Passion. Sophia shares her urban wellness and farming insight through plant medicine wisdom, farmers markets, oracle readings, cooking and gardening classes, and crystal singing bowl meditation. I was right. She is an herbalist. Sophia holds a Master's of Education with a concentration in curriculum and instruction from American Intercontinental University, and a Bachelor's of Science in Criminal Justice from Bethune-Cookman University. She has earned a number of accreditations: a year of OJT specialty crop apprenticeship through Goodness Grows, an organization that promotes food, faith, and sustainable farming for all; a market garden certificate with Youngstown Neighborhood Development Corporation; and a certificate of intuitive plant medicine with One Willow Apothecaries. Enjoy this conversation, and thank you for listening to The Psychedologist, Consciousness Positive Radio. Your smile is just, like, so radiant. It really is. Like, I get the sun shining behind you, and then you're just shining into my phone right here.
Oh, thank you. Likewise. It's a great reflection.
So what is going on at Ladybug's Farm right now? Tell me. Yeah, let's just dive in. What's the news?
So Ladybug's Farm, which is this one woman show, is in the process of merging both urban agriculture as we know it, and I guess spirituality and wellness. For a while, I've kind of done them separate for the sake of my own fears of assuming that people would not purchase from me if they had discovered that I was doing something other than selling produce.
Well, hopefully they don't listen to this.
It's out. It has taken, I guess that's about 8 years or so, maybe 8 years, seven, for me to come to that fullness of this is who I am and to be unapologetic about it. And it's absolutely what my customers have been asking for. Like, I never sell produce where people are like, thanks for the apple. They're like, so what else do you think I should do with this apple? You know, it's so much more than just, so, and I always give like loads of information, sort of like the apples I'm referencing, I get from some friends who I learned to grow with when I first started growing in Salem. So the apples are local. It's this wonderful deal that I have with these great farmers, these local great farmers and teachers that I call. They say I'm teaching them, but we're teaching each other. Small family farm where I'm selling their apples. And so I've got the history, the heirloom variety, and then I add what I think apples probably are medicinally good for. And so you get so much information from me as an urban farmer, as opposed to just getting a bushel, a peg, two apples, a leaf, a crunch, or whatever. So I was doing it anyway, but I think this time I'm being a little bit more specific about, you know, really what it is, because I feel that may have been an act of disrespect to my ancestors and my spirit guides to not let people know that it was them or it is them that is carrying me through this process. That is my own contract that I'm supposed to make known. I'm a teacher and I'm supposed to reference on all levels, not just academic levels, but spiritual levels, where I got this thing from, you know, which goes along with sometimes someone is learning to smile because I've given them insight as to how I'm smiling. And it's not just, oh, because I feel good. It is because I'm honoring my ancestors. I'm having gratitude for what was given to me by them and the shoulders I'm standing on. That is a huge part of the work. And for many years that I've just been culturally aware of traditional spirituality systems, anytime I've participated, ancestors obviously have always been utilized in the work. So I was already doing it, but I wasn't open to where it was actually coming from in just everyday lifestyle living. And when you live in a world where, you know, there are these boxes, right? And one of the boxes is work or job. So I'm still, you know, slowly climbing out of that box of, even though I am self-employed, I am my own box. I mean, my own boss, you do still think like, is this correct, politically correct? Is this professional? Is this right? You know, customer service and how to handle it. So you just want to be favored. You still want to be liked. And so you do the thing that you think is going to not disrupt the flow, but you know, after eventually doing the work, I realized I was doing that with people anyway. My cooking classes, if you ever experienced them, they're hilarious because I just tell people how it is. I just do, you know, and I don't give two whatevers about it. I tell them and I keep it clean and I keep it real, but I'm very direct. And so it's the same with, I needed to start doing that with, I think now, like the literature of the farm, the curriculum of the farm, like really fleshing it out. Like I need to go back on my blog and start adding these oracle, you know, symbols and signs and totems in the language of Ladybug's farm, you know, so that Ladybug's is not just, it's of all the spectrums, both dark and light, you know. And I think I would be, that would be the least path of resistance for me, absolutely, because I don't feel like I'm hiding. You know, I've done farm conferences before, and you just don't want to look like the voodoo lady in the room. You already do, you know what I mean? But you don't really want to say it. And they didn't invite you to talk about voodoo, so be careful, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So when I talk about land and when I talk about plant medicine, like, it looks different from someone who is of a lighter hue with a hipster outfit on. It looks, you know, dowsing rods have been used on farms forever. They weren't called witches. You let me hold some dowsing rods out there on my urban farm. And they're going to say, oh, that's witchcraft.
What are those? I'm not familiar. I want to get some, though.
It's these, they're normally made of, like, copper. And I wish I had some. Where are mine? But they're like these sticks that look like a big long L. And as you get closer to, like, it's supposed to be like water, to find water or energy spaces, they start twirling.
Wow.
And then eventually they'll slow down to like point in the direction of where to find it.
Mm.
And it's a really, really interesting tool. You call it water witching is another way.
Heard of that.
A lot of people used to do it to find water on land or to find things on their property. And it's not like a witchy thing. It's just what you do. But it is witchy, you know? I'm saying, so when I do it, it just looks like that. So that was always my piece, which is interesting because if for whatever reason someone else has been using these tools and it just didn't look the way it was, when the person who actually is using the tools, who is probably a little bit more kin to it, uses it, and it's like, oh, I see you. That's who you are. I should take that as a sign of, this is my practice. This is my purpose. I've been given permission because they see me. There is a knowing and a seeing when others see me. And again, to look at the intention, not from a perspective of wrong, but to take the attention as I see you. Because sometimes when you're in fear of, when you're in a fearful space and you're seen being who you are, you can be very afraid. But if you look at it as source energy does not do anything to harm you, that just is energy. And unlayering you, then the word is maybe shifting from fear to being uncomfortable to challenge, to why is this happening, to this is who I am, to
opportunity.
Absolutely. Because it's scary at first. You know, it is. That was the TEDx talk, was like, I wanted to just give them good urban hack content. And, you know, my coach was like, no, you're not getting away with this. I know you're so used to taking the I out of everything and you're not using your ego. Like, he read me. He said, but I need you to open up and give us you. Talk about you. And I always have a shot somewhere. So as he was talking, I was like, it's okay, I'm sober. Let it out. Open your arms. You know, he was like, listen. And I have to quote him. Joe Massey was an amazing coach. He said, Sophia, there is no memorized speech for you. I don't care what the other coaches are saying. Your speech should not be memorized. I want your heart. I know that the world has probably told you that you are too big, too loud, too black, all of, but we want that because we see it. Give it to us. Open up. And he said, so I need you to remove your arms. Because as he was talking, I was like this. And I do that when I talk. I talk here, you know. And he explained how the reason we speak from this space is because we're one of the only species whose internal organs, the thing we protect the most, is completely wide open. And so we do this for protection. And so he was saying, you know, put those arms down. And oh man, just that whole, the whole physical of putting my arms down was like, it was very uncomfortable. And he kept saying, okay, I see you. I don't want to, I guess, give too much information, but you know, it's useful. And I just was, I was at home Skyping with him, and I'm not comfortable with people even visiting me in my home, but here I'm like Skyping with people on video doing this. And I'm normally really conscious about, especially if it's a man, you know, that I've got a bra on or all of this is together. I'm a big girl, but I didn't. And so that whole open up was a real like workshop. You know, I just had on what I would normally have on as healer, vulnerable Sophia, flower, being open, you know, and it was a great workshop for myself. Like when I got off with him, I like cried a little because I was like, I don't think I've ever in my life had the opportunity of so-called standing naked, saying I'm open and I'm sharing. You know what I'm saying? So I think the leveling up of who I'm supposed to be is here. And because, like I was mentioning before, I'm a one-woman show. I'm working to align product and service into my business. And I know that it's slowly coming about to manifest with turning my home, my farm space into this healing space, because some of the other places that I offer my services has mentioned to me that there have been some folk who have complained about my language, my choice in language, and how I'm working with them.
And in what ways are you working with them? Is that like the teaching classes or?
So this is like if I'm giving a reading and I talk about sacral space, the word sex is going to come up, the word, you know, vaginal area, masturbation, kundalini rising, but, you know, in nothing less than what you would in a, you know, psychiatrist's office or, but it is clear that when you work for other people, specifically when you're doing readings in Ohio, and I think PA too, that they say it's for entertainment purposes. And I do feel like that's a little bit of a slap in the face for a lot of readers, because some people, that is their gift and that's their talent and their practice and service. You know, you got to just dumb yourself down to get the money. And that is not what I'm looking to do. So the only reason why that is really being highlighted is because it's time for me to move into my own. It has to happen. So back to the uncomfortable piece. That's not because I'm doing something wrong. You know, it's not because something bad has happened. It is absolutely about the shift of transparency. You look at things like all of those players in the piece of delivering this discomfort in accepting real information for someone to heal. And it does affect a lot of people. Sometimes you're healing the people around you. And when that is the case, when you look at, oh, that's what it is. So that's why it's really important as a seeker to seeker, so many titles that I have. Yes, I do absolutely love just that single title of farmer, or I like farmer. Farmer to me feels more at home with it all, as opposed to the name of my practice, or I do many things. But I love farmer as the greatest of the titles because it absolutely connects me to the land, like specifically. And it, and everything that we are and come from tangibly is from the land. Mm-hmm. So I'm comfortable. It fits kind of everywhere. So I'm saying as a seeker, a farmer, you're always learning. You're all you have to. I mean, you're always, always, always learning.
And you're so, in like constant relationship too. It's like all these relationships.
Oh, you know this. Oh my gosh. And I'm talking like I'm like, you don't know. You know anybody.
I don't know like you know. I mean, I know like I know, but that's just what it is.
Yeah. That right there is so how I do, you know, just the ebb and flow of my everyday, because I do know that everything that I should be doing, if I'm offering a service, I have to be well. You know, I have to be healthy. That's what, when I considered the fact that I'm not picking all these damn berries and taking them to market no more. That's a lot of labor. Lots. I was so excited. You know, I really did good with one of the plants that I've used to just cultivate itself. And, that's wild is my black raspberries. I figured out how to keep trellising them and keeping them in, you know, in small bunches together. So I just kept the ones that were scattering and trying to grow in the back. See how we do ourselves. The ones that were most difficult to get to, that phase was for us to eat. But the readily real quick was for market. Mm. And none of it is real quick, by the way. You know that. I said, wait a minute. This don't make sense. I'm at the grocery store looking for frozen raspberries, and I grow black raspberries. My hands are sore, and that don't make no sense. I'm missing something here. Mm-hmm. So that's when I made the decision to not bring my black raspberries to market, because we need to eat those. Mm-hmm. My daughter and I, because we need to be nourished. I had to refigure out that, hold on, I mean, me being farmer, is it just because I'm trying to grow rows and rows of food and hurry up and get stuff on the table to fill it up? Like, I think I'm missing it. And, you know, it's hard when you're learning and growing a business at the same time, because that is a thing. You need produce on your table. You need more than three things on your table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I felt like, you know, I'm starting all over after 3 years of realizing don't do this anymore, don't do that anymore. But I swear, these baby steps and the slow pace of it is so healing for who I am right now on this planet. It was like somehow the universe put a savings account somewhere for me to just do what the fuck I needed to do to get myself together. I'm not making no money. You know what I'm saying? I'm paying bills. But there's no extra. There's no extra. This has been the life of being able to lay in my bed as long as I want to, taking baths as long as I need to, taking nature walks as long as I need to, sitting with a tree as long as I want to, sitting out in the sun, laying down in the grass, staring at bumblebees. Girl, you know how many damn days that just went by with that alone? And then you're so heavy on yourself, like, oh my God, you're not working. You're not going to make money. You're not. The universe said that I can take care of myself until I get it and provide it. And there were some scary moments, but I proved to them, they, source, all, that I'm absolutely grateful for you holding this space for me to heal myself by still allowing all of this to happen, because it was still happening. And then I realized, oh, it's because I'm supposed to write the book. Thinking about calling you when I was trying to get my tea together and figure out what incense I wanted to burn after burning the sage before we went on, because these creative ideas always come to me. It dawned on me that I should write a book on how sister witches heal each other through the gift of their own magic.
Oh, that's amazing.
I have amazing, you included, friends who are just so deep, immersely deep, dip feet all in the divine, however you want to look at it. And we have really blessed each other with some stuff that we weren't even aware of. I guess what sparked it was, again, I was drinking my tea and I kept out a couple oranges on a table specifically to just have them dried. And I didn't use a dehydrator. If you leave them out, they'll just dry. And I was missing a good friend of mine who, that's what she's always done. She dehydrates and I'll go to her house and she'll go, would she like a couple, a lot of oranges in your night? I'm like, I wonder if I did, you know? and we would talk about, you know, citrus and the return of the sun. And that was something, I don't know where she got from, but it's absolutely a ritual that I always associate with social healing time, you know, winter, sisters. And I would love to just create a recipe book that, you know, these gifts will be given to me by just people sharing the gifts from that. So it's interesting that I even said that. And you can, am I talking too much?
Oh, no, I'm really enjoying this. And I'm thinking about the recipes that my witchy sisters and brothers and siblings and friends have shared with me and like of my own. Yeah, this is great. This is great. Keep going.
So as we come on and I talk about that, and I thought about it before we even came on, is you showed me your, what I call the Venus of Willendorf. That goddess statue is, that's like saying Sophia. If it's there, it's gathering my attention. It's saying something. That has been one of the strongest symbol forces in my world. One is it just freaked me out to walk into this Kohl's store and see that somebody saw me butt naked. I was like, what in the world? I've seen all kinds of statues. I've seen all kind of Venus bodies, but I have never seen my full-size breasts and my dripping delicious stomach and my full thighs sitting on a, that was like, wow. It took that whole occult world or spiritualism to a whole nother level when I saw that. That, when I looked at it, I didn't go, oh, that's like love. I looked at that very primally, like, whoa. Wow. And so, because you did that, there's a really, really, really special sister who, without me knowing who I was, had associated me with her Venus. And she associated me as not just Venus, but as the divine feminine Sophia. And her, she used to say, with this, you know, this gaze in her eyes when we met and we talked, you know, she would always say, you're the full embodiment of the divine Sophia. Like, she would say it like creepily. And I was just like, I don't know about that. Like, that's weird. She's like, have you ever thought about working with Sophia? And that's always been strange, to call your name as your name. And here she's saying, I'm the physical full embodiment. That was like heavy. And so interesting. My aunt saw the statue at the same store. And when I went to go back and get it, it was gone. And I thought, oh, Lord, somebody done bought my body. I told the lady, I said, are there more of those? You're not going to order more, right? Like, I don't want. And she was like, oh, well, I can. I was like, well, you don't have to. Because in my mind, it was so sacred. It was like, it looked like me. Well, my birthday came, and my aunt, that's what my aunt had gifted me for my birthday. And I just into water. You know, it was the start of something much more deep and serious for me than my aunt said. I walked in this, her reaction was my reaction. She said, that's my niece. That looks like my niece. And so all of that to say, this particular sister was the person who taught me about choosing a day that I was a goddess, to create my own time, connected me with 13 Moon, the Law of Time with Dr. Jose Aguilis. He created what is called a Mayan, I want to say short time, short count. I started following that calendar when we were charting it. It wasn't a space you can go and click on. Like, we were actually charting it. And I just learned more about the 13 in the cycles of the phases of the moon through all that, what I just said. But this is a woman, that's a sister who gave me that. And through that, so many other little rituals on me, how to make meals, and then this friend here. So it's so many things that I am that I did not discover on myself, like alone. Others gifted me or said, I see you in this. And then I want to say now, within the last 3 years, I've been creating my own content and rituals that I've been gifting to others. So it would be lovely to compile a gift to the divine feminine as, you know, some type of literary work that is a gift from each of us to ourselves, you know, because it's beautiful.
Let me know how I can sign up. I want to support this project.
Doesn't that sound kind of nice? Like, I know so many people that would melt their hearts. And some, you know how some people just have been waiting for that thing to donate their gift to? That's a thing. I mean, I would love for your ancestors are packed with that gift. You know what I'm saying? That's an old ancestors that you gift in people, you know, how this is how you get your money. This is how I get my crops to do better. This is how my infants smoke or smoke more or smoke less. This is how I stop my baby from crying. This is how I, like, you know, like real shit in the world. How to get through real stuff. Real rituals tried, tested, and proved by women for women because women.
Wow. Yeah. The table of contents could be like, I'm feeling, you know, all these range of like needs we might have, like my partner doesn't support me, or like, I don't have enough money.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Empty nest syndrome. That's where I'm at.
What you were saying about like being fully honest and transparent with the people that you serve, you know, by nourishing them with your food and your medicine, really the whole thing, as you said, I think it's very restorative to the world today for us to be fully honest with the work that we do and to incorporate it holistically, incorporate all aspects of our life into the gift we bring. Because I think that like capitalism doesn't do that. Like it's lying to you. It presents a narrow slice of like, this is this acne product and this will do this for your skin. And it's not talking about the impact of those chemicals on your skin or on the water it's being washed out into, and that there it's making you feel like you're wrong because you have acne. Just a random example, like this is a poison it's a falseness that capitalism presents us with. So I love that you're like embodying your truth in the work that you're doing, or as you said, taking steps towards doing that, because I know I can't even imagine, actually. I don't know how hard it is, but I believe you, and I trust from everything I've seen that it is hard to really show up like that. Well, where do we go from here?
Where do we go from here? So yeah, that's what the farm is doing. It's kind of merging its principles and its concepts. But I also, I need to take the technology aspect of it to the next level. And I do need to create a spreadsheet, and I'm in a really sweet space where, you know, seed catalogs are coming. Mm-hmm. We've got a warm weather here. I mean, every farmer I know, I'm sure, is delighted and dancing, so we can be outdoors a little earlier. I really do believe we're going to have a warm winter, which makes for probably like a early spring where we could get the ground open a little quicker, get your chores, all the chores you did get done, because we got snow so early. So I am thinking about the land, and I was really fearful that I had to choose one thing over the other, honestly, which is the part where, you know, I'm doing spiritual consultations indoors, but then I need to cultivate things outdoors. I figured that I wanted to create a workspace, a spiritual workspace outside. So I figured April or May that I would dress a tree, you know, and create space under this tree that I could also do my spiritual working and do things like separate stuff on the tables, but a space where, you know, because I have a space on the farm, I have like a seed table, basically. And I just use that as, you know, a stand-up space to do stuff, hope, you know, produce or tools or whatever, and I work on it. But then, like, have a space that if it's, like, full moon and I wanted to be out at night or in the day, if I had some herbs that I wanted or some roots that I found that I wanted to use for spiritual workings, that took a, you know, altar space to work with. And since they've torn down two homes on both sides of my house, it has opened up more light to the farm and it has kind of exposed my backyard a little more. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I wanted to create space that I could still be there and feel comfortable. And I need to decide if I'm really going to own these lots completely or not. You know, the land bank is like, what's up? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the way I can get it very affordably, but I just need to create something to demonstrate why I deserve them, because they've not really done it before our land bank. So I'm kind of the person that they've been using to, you know, monitor how you get access to land, water, who piles, work with zoning, I'm one of those projects that I've always worked with the land bank. And so through my steps and process, you know, I made the front cover of their annual report, I think last year, to show how when you work with the land bank, how profitable it can be, how lovely it can become. So they're just like, yeah, we want to work this out with you, but show us how to do it. So I'm just gonna, what I want to do is just create a portfolio of the some letters of, you know, people loving my work here in this community, in the neighborhood, and some letters of people who I've done actual business and sold produce to, and to get some award letters, if I can get the organizations to find some award letters, I've got some small grants. I want to kind of just show why it's important for you to give me this really good, you know, reduced cost for these lots. You know, point is, even if I write these letters or not, it's mine. I'm just doing the work because I need to leave a paper trail. That's real. They're mine. You know, even on both sides of this house, I thought about that, and you'll be the, I think you're the first person that I've opened my mouth publicly and said that to.
Wow.
But I saw this. I got a picture in my house that I took a class when I was in Florida working for Orange County WIC department. They would offer certain classes for free, like continuing education in whatever your field was. And so at the time I was working as a breastfeeding peer counselor. And so that was under like health and wellness or whatever. And I took like a class, and I want to say it was like a dance and mindfulness class. And after doing these dances, we would draw on these images with chalk. And one of the photos that I drew is a picture of a house. And the window is on the right side. And the smoke is on smokestacks coming out. And beside this house is a tree. It's an apple tree. This picture was drawn. So I want to say that was over 15 years ago that I saw this, right? So when I saw the picture, I thought, and there are other pictures, by the way, that I that it absolutely has manifested. And she said that when you do these, she said, if you put them up, they're going to manifest. And then people in the class were like, yeah. Well, I was kind of into that stuff. So I just, she sprayed them, I guess, whatever, sprayed so the chalk won't go. And they've been always up on my wall. We moved to Ohio. I put them on my wall because I had a child and we were into artsy crafting. I don't think I've ever left that whole what a cool college room look like anyway. I don't really have my home not like this special. It's just colorful of flags and drums and mats and herbs and baskets and stuff.
Oh, so sounds magical.
I just, you know, and because when you have children and they make things, you just put them on the wall. So I still have hearts and stuff that my daughter made when my breast wasn't doing well. These hearts. She made all these little hearts. And we still have the wall. But that particular picture, when you look at it now, like if I was to show it to you, my home is a double home that I inherited from my family. I stay on the right side of this home. That's the side. And there is now and the first lot that they tore was on that side. My apple trees are just behind that space.
Wow.
I was just talking to my extension agent about getting a SARS grant of doing an apple orchard with chocolate mint as a ground cover and hazelnut. Hazelnut.
Yes.
You know, it just kind of clear the space that it's not, you don't have to maintenance so much. You see what I'm saying? So that is there. Like, that's all crazy. And I remember telling somebody, I just want a nice big L, you know, and my farm space is in the back is probably a quarter of a block over in length. You know, would be the L. So I'm a great manifester. but I'm challenged with doing the work of it. It's like, how do you allow yourself to physically do the work? And I'm going to say this, according to the new information that I've come into, that I need to get out of my head that it is my job to be the sole farmer of the thing that I'm manifesting. All I have to do is start the process and do the work. No, my knees won't do it all. The universe will offer a vibration where it will get done. And I will be in the best space of what that looks like. Whether that is managing, apprenticing, you know, having some apprentices. But I would be a fool to walk away from this right now. I mean, it's there. And I'm in this a space where, and it's because it's when I'm very sensitive to the seasons. And I'm trying to push my, that's the other thing, right? If you're a company, you're supposed to work regardless. There's just no whatever.
Right.
So you need to work, you know? But in the business that I'm at, I've got to honor the seasons. There's a resting time. And that's so hard. It's when you network and you're still going to meetings and people are like, so what are you, what's going on with your business? Oh, I'm resting. And they're like, you're not doing very well. You know, but there is a process to why I need to rest. Mm-hmm. Because when, you know, the physical magical part shows up, when the sun returns, then I'm supposed to be out there.
Yeah.
You know, supposed to working against what the nature, you know, what nature is. And I'm not going to say I'm a due diligent calendar, 13 moon calendar and moon watcher, but I pretty much do watch it. And my New Year's is in July, not January. So this is a sleeping, dreaming, still dreaming time while they're telling others it's time to wake up and start something new. You know, I'm still planting the creative part, you know, and it is tough when you're working outside of your own clock, your own system. Bringing up that certification I just got with Aisha Schuler, who I absolutely love, One Willow Apothecary, she gives a tutorial on the will of the year, a journal that's just for you. Ooh, and I was so excited. But it's so much to it that I just got overwhelmed, didn't start. You could start whenever. Mm-hmm. But it's literally you journaling around the seasons. So when you get back to where you started, you're like, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. Lay my ass down. You know, it's like, oh, I do this every year. Why? There's something to this. And to not be in judgment of what that looks like. Knowing the times that I'm emerging more and knowing when it's time to retreat. It makes sense that the Venus of Willendorf body is full and voluptuous and hanging because she's a dreamer. You're not going to have no 20-pack abs sleeping and resting the way we do. The way we swell and retract through the various seasons. She's absolutely in her stronger legs. You see the piece of her stronger leg. You know, she is always gathering. But that's what people, they'll tell you when you go to the gym, why you have a bigger belly. And they say, is you sit down too much or you sleep a lot. Yup. I sure do. And it doesn't mean that's bad. It just means that that's who I am in this process. And I can recognize that and not be in judgment at that. You know, you could dress it up. I didn't even know that it was like such a thing of someone looking at the middle abdomen part as sexual or delicious or beautiful, this full body look, because I want to say corporate America, or I just say the way we have what the standards of beauty is for society, mm-hmm. for a full-size woman is normally she has a small waist and a big butt, and maybe a big breast.
Right.
But you never see, you know, the apple bodies. You never see her. She's not like, you know, it's charted as, oh, she's erotic.
No, no one flaunts their belly. Like, very few people flaunt their belly, especially in the mainstream, unless it's a certain shape. This traumatized me for my whole life because I have a round belly. When I'm relaxed, I have a, I'm going to say, a beautiful, round, protruding belly.
Yes, call it, girl. Look at that smile. Exactly. When I come into that, it was my own coming to it, and that's where I'm challenged now because somebody has finally caught up with it to say, hey, I like that. And I'm trying to, and that's how I know that this is this sacral creative time for me. And it is rocking me into the greatest woman that I'm coming into. Because I'm not going to resist it, and nor will I allow others to tell me what it is or it's not. I know what's considered in this relationship I'm describing is considered too much, and I know when it's time to pull out, and I know when it's time to move forward. But for me to run like I used to, it just says that I'm gonna spend another 3 years trying to catch up. You know, and I'm ready, and I'm tired of being fearful. I'm tired of worried about what the fuck other people think.
It's tiring.
And I'm tired of trying to be so perfect. That's what this relationship was so nice, because I didn't have to be Mama Sophia, Ladybug's farm, Sophia. You know, I just was this person that met this other person, and I love the fact that he didn't know me. Because it just is, people don't understand that when you're that kind of person, the person I just described that I was trying not to be, it's a lot. And it's exciting, you know, but that's like, you know, telling people you boss up all the time. That's overwhelming, you know, that I have this hole to fill. You know, so it's so crazy. Three other people this past week saw me and was like, I follow you. And I was like, what do you mean? On Facebook. And that's weird that people are saying they follow me. Like, why are you following me? I'm grateful that, I mean, it's like, I appreciate what you post, and I really like how you say it. I've gotten so much like, oh, I love following you. Like, oh, I follow her. Like, got excited when she saw me at the grocery store and was taking a picture. And I was just like, that's weird. I mean, not weird, but I never, and that's a good thing for me because I'm very, very, very sensitive about what others think of me. I have all my life. And I'm glad that I've gotten a positive response to, I'm glad you're doing more, because I wasn't doing as much because I was afraid, of course, that my answers weren't going to be the right answers, and my content wasn't going to be perfect content, or my pictures weren't going to be pretty pictures, you know. And then I post them and everybody's like, oh, I love you, and you're great, and that's so wonderful, this is awesome. Let's celebrate.
I've been one of those people.
And it's like, oh, okay. And then I had to be ready to accept, too, that there are people who are not going to want that, too. That's okay. If they don't want it, it's just not for them. You know? And I've met people who have said in the beginning, I judged you, and here I am. That's my whole college experience. I remember being in college and how people made me feel like an outcast at my college, which is predominantly Black school. And I've always wanted to be a part. I know that sounds crazy, but it's this thing. And Michelle Obama writes it in her book, Becoming, too. This whole, why do you talk proper? Why do you do that? That's what white people do. That's what white people do that. White people you see. White people is like, well, if I'm eating it, ain't now Black people do it, right? You know, it's that weird space when you're trying to better yourself to support the dominant group. And the dominant group is saying, oh, if you do that, then you're not a part of us. That, you know, that's the whole chakra stuff. So coming out of not caring what people think and just giving what I'm supposed to give, I have to thank social media for that. Mm. I do, because I'm very private. And it is a way in my privacy that I could share, you know, in a very specific way on how to help others, you know. And I'm glad that the feedback has been, you know, magnanimous, really. So I do feel that people are also growing with me and my work. But I do think, too, I need to speed this up a little bit. Like, the universe is absolutely still vibrationally responding to the way I'm moving. And it's time for me to move a little bit more quicker. So in doing it, that's that part I was sharing, I think. I don't know if Sylvia recorded that. I don't even know if I'm saying it correctly, but I just share it the best way I know, which is the 30-30-30. And I'm sure it could be reduced to how much time you want, but the point of the fact is that the most influential or the most affluential people in the world, there are certain things that they do, these habits. One of them is getting up between the hours of 3 and 5 or 5 and 7 a.m. And they have a rigorous activity, and there is journaling happening, and there is a profession of what you do, like a thing. It's the thing that they do. Most of them do. So the 30-30-30 concept would be 30 minutes of rigorous activity, 30 and 15 minutes of gratitude in your journal. Gratitude in your journal, and the next 15 minutes is where you at? Where are you at? How do you feel? And from that, you go into what is it that you're trying to accomplish? And lastly, last 15 are the goals that you're trying to implement. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm working in this 5 a.m. Millionaire Goddess Club, she adds the five minutes, which is 5 minutes of 108 mantras. So we're working with mala beads. And so I feel that that's going to, you know, take me into my, you know, from my recluse space to my tortoise space to, you know, now I'm moving a little bit more faster than just kind of being inward, you know. And I want to say the manifestation is definitely tripled, because since I've been doing it, it's been some challenges coming up, you know, but I've been able to handle them better. That's the purpose of starting your day that well, so that you are not reacting to shit you can't change. Mm-hmm. But you are absolutely in control of what you're becoming and what you need to do. It helps you with the distractions. It helps you set the tone, like, oh, this too shall pass. Oh, I don't have 2 fucks for that either. Oh, is that what that is? You know, and keep it moving. It helps tremendously. And look how much money you miss when you do that. So I was missing my money, which is my prosperity. And it also helps me take judgment out of that, what I just said, asking for money, requiring that, for, you know, being beautiful and weird. Wearing feathers when I want to, that was the other thing I remember. Farming with, you know, rural farmers. They're like, what has she got on? I don't know what I need to have on today. Let's pick this up for my magic. It's my black girl magic. I just need feathers and whatever on me. Whatever, I don't care where I'm at. Whatever I have on, I absolutely am prepared to get in the soil. I make that paramount. Mm-hmm. That is, I am able to get into the soil. I don't wear things that won't allow that. If I've ever gone to a conference, I make sure I am dressed, because agriculture is the order of the day. I've never been someplace where, and then to go to maybe a farm conference and we didn't touch land. That's like being at a community organization and talking about health and wellness and you serving pizza and pop while I'm doing it. No, we don't do that. We don't do that. Mm-mm. So that's just my style, just nature, you know? And I've watched, when I've seen all those beautiful women in India with their jewelry on and their bangles and their wraps and fabric and silk on the land. And I know that that's probably a very tough situation for many. But if they make it look so easy, so effortless, so beautiful. And that's all I want to look out in the field with my stuff blowing in the wind and my beads and my, like my sisters look over there. One time for all of the female farmers in the world. Mm. You know, that right there is, like you said, what were you trying to say? A constant. You know, and so if that's the case, like, it was really hard for me to separate those boxes. Like, I was like, my boots are going to go here. My Carhartt coat's going to go here. My head wraps are here. I was like, listen, make this a lifestyle. This is too much categorizing in my home. You know, I just need to be clear. It's going to be soil in my house. And it's okay. It's all right. We're going to work it out. We'll have little stations for buckets. And work it out, you know. Not saying the word dirty in the house, because dirt is not something we work with. If it is dirty, it absolutely needs to be clean. If it is soil, then it is life forming, you know. So.
Yeah. That was something I wrote during my first psychedelic trip, was dirt is not dirty. And I didn't work with plants or garden at all at that time in my life. That was like one of my initiations to being called to the work of farming. And I have a few colleagues that are in like the psychedelic movement. So that's something I do, some psychedelic advocacy. And he said that more and more young people are coming to work the land and to farming because of journeys that they had or spiritual experiences. So I think that this is definitely the direction of the future of working farming, because the monocrops, the factory agriculture, the spirit in that is, you know, there is no place for spirit in that, because it's all about profit. So I think that abundance will come from this message that people like you are bringing. And thank you for midwifing that. Oh, please.
Oh, wow. That's a big title. Yeah, that's an interesting title. It's a title of all I used to think that one day I would have. I thought I was a doula. That's an interesting title. And I've had both. With my daughter, I had a midwife and I had a doula. That's a very powerful. That's something to consider. I never considered that, thinking of it from a land steward perspective. You know what I'm saying? And plant medicine, girl. If you look on my Facebook page, not to change my whole profile. No.
Just write it in some chalk. Because it's a process of labor and birthing into a new time. Yeah,
it is. And I think that was one of the posts I put on Mama Sophia's page, was that I was grateful for the spirit of change and grateful for the spirit of sacral movement through a Kundalini experience. And that's exactly what it is. I'm birthing myself, you know, and I'm learning a lot about myself, and I'm learning about the people around me. I'm also learning of my effect on others. And I learned that I'm not as patient as I thought, you know, and that was one of the things that if I had been a little bit more patient, hence why I'm still connected to this person, that this person is literally mimicking everything that I'm requiring. Like, I've had some crazy episodes with this person, but I've never had someone just do what I asked them to do. And that's what's happening. Like, for somebody to be of a certain age and not be interested in change, but to see them shifting, you know, shows the deep connection. You know, I've always wanted a man who was, or any partner really, who was as affectionate as I was. I'm very affectionate with whoever I'm with. I'm touchy-feely. I'm often reminding you of who that I'm there through kisses, through my touch, through some service. I'm not a person who is distant. I'm in your breath. It's in the past been back up, calm down, to the point that I would tell people, like, if you feel I'm too touchy, feeling I'm too much in your space, you know, tell me, because I don't want to be offensive to you. But this is who I am, you know. And this person is absolutely the person who's like, no public affection. That is too much. You're too close. But it's completely opposite now, where they are returning it. And at first it looked like a child playing, like just trying to, like, I kiss, oh, yeah, I'm going to kiss you back. Because they're trying to learn how to. But now it's so fluid for them that they created a habit. That they're doing this thing with someone and it felt good. Mm. And so when it's not there, then it's like, hey, why aren't we doing this thing? Because those are clearly signs that I'm not happy. Mm. If I'm not touchy-feely with you, mm-hmm, that's the first indication we got a problem. Mm. I'm easy to get. My communication is effortless. I'm in that area of communication, I'm good. Very good. People get it. So when you're a person like, you were confused, you didn't know, which is happening now with one of these board members, but.
By the way, I had a vision, and we're coming up on an hour, so I feel like this might be a good place to wrap it in. I don't know. I do want to ask you one more question, but I had this vision of you sitting down with the land bank people or whoever these bank land people are. And like, instead of just getting down to like your recommendations and all your accolades, being like, can we just drop into our bodies for a minute and like guiding them through some sort of. I saw that.
That's crazy. That's crazy you said that, because. So I am on a board, which is kind of new. And I'm always concerned. I'm always asking our president, am I too hippy dippy in the meeting? Like, I'm concerned about that. Like, and it is, it's a right and a left brain piece at this particular meeting body that I'm talking about. Tradition versus untraditional ways of giving people grants. And who are we as a board to distribute that? And how we're supposed to implement this work, because they're used to doing it the same way. And there are a few of us, like, those ways aren't working. And I'm always there reminding people of who they are personally in their heart space. And it's so interesting that you said that, because I had a dream very similar. I was sitting at the end of the table, and because I've been doing this early morning meditation that is supposed to be done 66 days, I was offering this as medicine to the group. And I remember saying, I know that you all are busy and I know you, but we cannot forget the real work of why we're here. And we can't forget how, even if it's someone else's pain in their poverty, their pain in their poverty has created this board. That's why we're here. It's not because they're doing okay. So we have to pause and say, we're basing this off the backs of people's bodies and their lives. So we got to be good by this. And clearly it's not real bodies tangibly. So I'm saying that's a spirit thing. Mm-hmm. We got to make sure that that bank is full and overflowing constantly and always, you know, being as transparent as we can in our own personal lives, you know. If you're in judgment or what you're doing in your own personal life, and it's going to affect the people you're trying to serve, do the right thing.
Yeah.
Be honest that these aren't real, actual, tangible bodies, that this is spirit that we're working with. And if that is the case, that we should make sure that we are living our best lives so that we can serve the way we need to actually serve these spiritual bodies, which is what we're calling poverty and hunger. You know, living a glamorous life because we can use words like food insecurity to sit, have a board, to really recognize that. And so that, spiritual banking system needs to always be overflowing and full. So that's an individual thing that we need to bring to this table, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Just that. Well, how can people find you? How can they follow these beautiful things that you're putting out on social media or anywhere?
So I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram as Lady Bugs Farm. And that's three words. Lady, my last name, Bugs, B-U-G-G-S, and Farm. And I'm also on Facebook as Sophia L. Bugs and Mama Sophia's Wisdom. That is on Facebook and Instagram. So that is Mama Sophia's Wisdom. And that's Facebook and Instagram. Oh, and my email address is ladybugsfarm@gmail.com. Three words. Lady, my last name, Bugs, B-U-G-G-S, farm@gmail.com.
Thank you, magnificent Sophia.
Thank you. We didn't talk about high or psychedelics, but it's cool, whenever.
Well, there's a lot of episodes on the podcast about psychedelics, and I think that I want to break past just like defining consciousness as that more often, because it's consciousness positive radio, and there's really nothing more conscious, I think, than working with the land. And so, but yes, come back.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do one in person, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be lovely. Yeah. Cause my TED talk kind of fused a little bit of that. That was the thing that I was mentioned in the beginning, that I think my TED talk, which was this wonderful experience, I just told the real story of who I was, and that's how, you know, title Farmer is what I chose. But I did do a pouring of a libation for Kai Wingo, who I believe gave me my wings when it comes to permission to teach and talk in the world of entheogens and psychedelics, and to be okay and free with my experiences and holding space for others who've got those experiences. But I mean, any aspect of the mycelia table, that's my stuff. That is all me. That's for me as land. And the fruiting part of it is my wisdom. You know, I'm just spurring all over the place. I'm infectious, for sure. And I don't know if it's because my mother did psychedelics, you know, or somehow I get it. I understand it. But I am absolutely very infectious. Like people say to me all the time, I don't know what you have, but you know, little old ladies are like, just come here. I just need it. Or people are like, I don't even know why I need to, but I need to meet you. So I'm spurring on. People just listen to me. They just trust that whatever I'm saying or what I'm doing is right. This has been most of my life. And I've always been like, I don't even know who I am. I don't even know. But now it's like a thing. So I really get that whole, the largest body on this planet is the mycelia table, landmass, whatever we want to call it, the gridding, those little dendrite things, you know, all connecting, you know. And of course, I always try to tell people to think of the movie Avatar.
Yes.
To give you, you know, a scenario of what these waves of communication that's happening, and we're included, especially when you can actually get on the land. I mean, how dope is that, that, you know, getting these different pulsations of different parts of the land, and they're communicating to you and being able to transmute that into everyday life. I would not be where I'm at if it was not for me farming, period. I just wouldn't. I wouldn't. I'd be on opioids for real. That is real talk, because life is, for people like us, it's very challenging. you know, and it's a blessing to be able to jump up, throw some boots on, and walk my butt out that back door and see and touch and feel nature at her fullness. And so I do have an urban farm, but I'm at the mouth of an amazing park, Mill Creek Park. Like, my street is the entrance to the park, like, four houses away, you know. So I'm literally, like, in city nature. I mean, you can't get no sweeter than this. You can't. My challenge is building it up. So that's what I need to leave you with. I've been asked this several times. People always say, how can we help? People say, you know, those questions, and I never give that. So the overall piece is, I want to turn my home. I am turning my home, which is a double house that I inherited, into a wellness center, to an urban ag wellness center. It would be complete with a store where I'm able to offer folk medicine and magic, and some cooking classes and some sustainability classes, maybe even have a space for Airbnb for people to come stay, and for people to also explore urban agriculture and nature, because, again, I'm down the street from the park. So I would, that is in my deepest desires, that I transform this space into something very beautiful, magical. It's kind of started already, you know, but like I said, I'm a one-woman show, and I'm just, you know, I'm working on me, and I'm assuming that how I work on me and I build myself up, it too will build up and grow, as long as I keep asking and aligning myself with it. And I'm always asking. I just have to make sure I'm aligning myself up with it and getting out of the way of myself. I have to be clear about the message that I'm sending, you know, because that's a big thing, you know. So that's what I'm working towards. And I do think that what I'm going to eventually start doing is, and there are a couple folks that have come and donated, like followed me, like a couple years ago, a group who come from Michigan with their youth group, it tripled in size every time they came, man. And they would just blow through my farm, you know, weed it up, dig up things. They were the ones that helped tear down a fence. Last time they came, they donated a riding lawnmower to me, and a bunch of other farm tools, because they just were following my stories from a hose being busted and all my tools breaking down. And I'm not an organization, you know, I'm just a one-woman show, you know, and doing good work in the community. But it's time for me to bring that business part of it here, you know. And it is absolutely a breakthrough for me because, as I mentioned before, I'm very private. And having people to have access to me all the time, knocking on my door, being in my house, is like, you know, but there is safety there, and I do secretly desire it. I do. I really do. I see a lot of my friends host other people, and I've absolutely got a gift to do it. But I need to get out of my own way and align with what this looks like. So that's what I'm accomplishing, what I'm working with, or working on.
May it be so.
I say, yes.
The Psychedologist is Consciousness Positive Radio. Find us everywhere podcasts are hosted. For more information, visit us on Facebook or online at thepsychedologist.com.